Today is the 4th of January, 2022. It's Tuesday, 2 o'clock. Oh, it's about 2:30 Central Time, and I am honored to have our guest on with us from Canada, Adeola Sogbine. And Adeola is going to, I'm just going to really turn the broadcast over to him for the next hour. And just take all the time you want, Adeola. And Adeola's got quite a history, quite a story. So I'm just going to turn it over to Adeola and let him take it whatever direction you want to go, Adeola. Welcome.
Thank you. It's right now, it's been a test of patience for today in a lot of areas. So it's a welcome distraction. In this area. So, now this is where I'm going to start. Wasn't born here in Canada at all. I came here, obviously, with my two younger brothers. Obviously, my sister and my youngest brother were born here afterwards. But basically, my parents were highly educated in a Christian home. Came to Canada. And what had happened was, this was where the start of my journey was. It wasn't until I went to a public school. And then what happened was, for some reason, they wanted to keep me another year. And what my parents did was went to a Catholic school. It was literally probably a 5 or 10 minute walk or drive in the same neighborhood I lived in, the Townhouse Complex, in the nation's capital. So my parents got me in, and so since then, in the 1970s, this was my introduction to Catholicism from when I was a kid all the way up until grade 12. But this was the real kicker. In the 1970s, you had to be a Catholic. You had to say your brother Catholic faith in order to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church school. And for whatever reason, what my parents said, it got me into that church, into the school system. Thought it was a Christian organization. Knowing now it isn't, but at the time, I didn't know. But the kicker was, during the exact same time, growing up, so since I was a kid, from there all the way up until grade 12, I went to Sunday school at a Baptist church. So here I am, literally receiving sort of a dual education without even realizing. So all these years, I go to a Roman Catholic church and I went to a Baptist church. At the time, I thought they were different, but they're really controlled at the top by, obviously, the Pope, Jesuits, and Satan himself, the organization. I got this double education. So, growing up, didn't know any difference. But it wasn't until high school that I started noticing some inconsistencies in the papacy for one area. A part of religion class, I had this brother teach the religion class. And there were these brothers, it's a certain order, something within the church, that they took a vow of poverty. But yet, if they took a vow of poverty, they were never hurting. He always had money, he always had cars, the diocese always bought him a house. At that time, they were living on the third floor of the church. Halfway through high school, they were renovating the high school, so the diocese bought him a house. And I remember one of the brothers, he always complained about, don't worry about money nearly. Well, money's not a thing. But yet, he was never hungry, and yet, he always had a vehicle. So, how could you worry about money, and yet, he always had something nice? This was the first key where I start questioning stuff. During the grade 10 year, I ended up, since we were moving and renovating the place, they asked a bunch of us at the summer camp to help move stuff out into the trash. This was the first time I actually saw what was behind there. And I sat back and said, man, these guys were living high on the hog. Some of the guys had cameras, water beds. These guys were hurting. I mean, I even saw a stack of movie magazines going back to the 1970s. And that really, I was silent. That sort of shook me because I'm not just going to say about Cassidy here and not look at this stuff. We had a bunch of movie magazines. So years later, I saw none basically left the feet to the doctrinal differences. On the flip side, at the Baptist church, that's when I first learned King James Bible, at that church. Now, years later, and moving back, totally went the complete opposite direction. Had Sunday school all the time, but I realized I never learned anything. And the real spot was, is that what was being taught was in Sunday school at the time, literally the same thing was being repeated in class during religious studies. So I always wonder, why are you teaching the same thing? It sort of, these were these questions, but I couldn't answer because I just didn't know. The moment grade 12 hit, done. I just basically walked out and said, you know what, you'll never ever see me in a church again. Because I was getting a dual education. I do admit, I went to a mass several times. I got no dumpster from it. I did one confessional, but I'm like, I got nothing from it. Larry, do you have any questions during that time?
No, I think it's remarkable that you, like you said, you were basically getting schizophrenic training. You were getting
that was getting some schizophrenic training. Yeah. I mean, 99 if you put it. So now, obviously, did a typical thing, early 20s, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, early 20s, the milk browsing around, I mean, most kids that age did. So, but the funny, this was the thing. It was about, I think for the age of 19 to early 20s, it was just doom and effect, basically. Go to college, set a career path, this is what I want to do. You know what? I want to have this is my goal. And you know what? Move in the city, get a condo, live downtown Toronto, screw the country, hate this town. Here, that was my mindset at the time. This is what I want to do, none more. Obviously, God had a different plan, obviously. But that was just my mindset at the time because it was just these are my plans, as I want to do at this amount, one of a certain age, do this, like be a multimillionaire at this age. I mean, just I had basically my life planned out for the next. My life was planned out the way I wanted to be. So I remember it's not that I didn't pray. I do remember myself praying. I do remember myself still believing in God, but there was there was virtually no Bible study I was going to in the literal sense. Come home at Christmas, et cetera, but there was virtually no Bible study. I mean, so when I left, I was basically just doing what the world does, but basically empty slate when it comes to God's Word. Outside of what was being taught in school and in church, that was it. No real heavy stuff. But the one thing happened was, in my early 20s, I basically said to myself, look, I do know what it's like to drink. So I remember one day I said, why am I going to a club for, and why am I drinking? It was one of these moments where I'm not doing this no more. The arguments I got over that blew me away. I couldn't believe how many people justified this my entire life. Because once I quit, this was one of these little question moments in my life where, why am I drinking and why am I going to clubs for? Why am I drinking alcohol and why this? And the flack I received blew me away. I said, look, I'm just questioning. And I realized because people like it and they hate when a person does it, doesn't do it, it tops your height. So I have to make you feel guilty for doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. Caveat, a few years ago, I had to help a guy on a 24-hour move on a storage washing unit, and I had to take two shots of scotch just because it was up for 24 hours. That's a caveat. That was the first time I had a little scotch in a couple of years because I was up for 24 hours. No coffee work, but that was the only time. That's a little caveat here, really. So it was this path. And the funny thing was, I had a summer job before I moved to Toronto. I had a summer job at Canada's Wonderland, and I lived in Oshawa. And it was during that time, literally during that time, where I just began to spend a lot of time alone. I don't know what it was. It was just a period of time where, outside of working and doing my own stuff, I just spent a lot of time alone. And I was just thinking about a lot of stuff. Don't know why, but I think God had a hand. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, had a hand in it. I remember I was seeing this one girl at the time, and she was getting baptized in a Christian church. And basically, I mean, there was no missionary work from this Christian church. He says, well, I can't be living with a guy or seeing a guy as I'm getting converted. Okay, but I had no clue what it was. This is my sort of first exposure to it, but I'm like, I said, okay. So that didn't last. I remember getting up to go to church it just so happened I was literally like a half a block where I lived. I was a half a block away from the Roman Catholic Church. Thinking at the time I was only going to go. So one Sunday morning, threw on a suit, walked to the church, sat back, and this was during their confirmation, their like kids getting baptized. I sat there at the back, looked around, no less than 10 minutes, I was gone. Booked out like this. I said, this is my last time, I'm never coming. For whatever reason, I never went back. Even though I would literally sit there at nighttime by myself praying. But yet, during that time, it was like no one was ministering the gospel to me. In the literal sense, no one except Jesus Christ. Not us. This was during that time. You have any questions, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting how you were, I believe it was the Holy Spirit of God that was revealing certain things to you along your journey, you know, step by step.
Yeah. And during this time, I mean, to go back to see if my thing was going back to the club. I remember one day I literally walked, it's off Ontario Street, Oshawa, walked to this club just to see if what I see was right. Guy let me in, say hi to this one guy. Everybody was all dancing. Spent 10 minutes in there. It seemed like 10 minutes, but less than that. Walked out. Looked around, I said, no, I'm done. Walked right back out of the place. I said, I have no interest in this place. Whatever it was quashed. It was literally quashed out of me, like just that part was just peeled. So, done, finished my school like here in Canada, then ended up finding a job in Toronto at a survey construction company. Now, this was, God had a hand in this. The day I moved down to Toronto, this was like late 98, 99. It was during that time, the Toronto Transit Commission, what I found out, when I moved to Toronto at that time, I virtually had no clue, I knew nobody except an old classmate of mine, which I'm no longer speaking to. Except him, knew nobody, outside of that, no family or anything. That was a growing period, that was a real growing part of my life. The TTC went on strike during that time. And I had applied, and this is a dumb thing, when I graduated from college in my town, and the normal college will say, well, let's find work and everything. I applied for jobs in my field in the town I grew up in, and I was shocked that I couldn't find anything. It was like a rude awakening. A little one-line ad basically said, surveyor's assistant required. Fax resume here. Okay. Guy called me, went down for an interview, had a job. Moved down there, the weekend I moved down there, the TTC was going on strike. And at the time, I was about to look for a place further in the city. Then I ended up choosing a spot near Humber College. It's basically you get an associate's degree in the States. At that time, where I moved to was in a room in a house. In this particular area, there was a Assembly Methodist Church, there was a United Church, there was a Assembly Methodist Reform, Baptist, there was a Pentecostal church, a Islamic church, possibly a synagogue, I'm in that area, but I'm not exactly clear where, as well as a Hindu faith, and a few other, the normal atheists and everything. So I was in the area, particularly in upselling it, was a highly religious area. I mean, highly. And yet, during those first few years when I was there, still knew nobody. I mean, no one came to me. So, for the first few years. So, did my normal thing. And this was the funniest thing is, when I first started, I was about to walk to a bus station at Woodbine Racetrack. As I'm walking down the street, I literally stopped in front of the Mississauga Transit bus stop. I stopped, looked to my left, and I saw him. I said, are you going to this particular bus station? He said, yes. I totally avoided the TTC Transit. So for a week, didn't affect me. God had a hand. I realized now God had a hand in me moving there. Yes, during the work period, during the time I was there, I never said it was perfect. Did I make my blunders there? Yes, I did. At the same time, did the employers make their blunders? Yes. So, you know, I mean, I accepted stuff that no longer I was there. But the funny thing was, second year, I was carrying my planner. For whatever reason, people thought, there's certain people came to me and thought, was it my Bible? I said, no, it wasn't. At the time, I still didn't have it like this. Now, one day, I don't know, I can't remember what it was. We're still best friends at this time. Best friend gave me a track of God's proper day of worship and everything. Still have it today. And his wife, at the time asked me, is this your Bible? I said, no, it isn't. I'm this man of my business. These two were fighting like this. Gave him the track, and I said, look, read it. I thought nothing of it. 3 months later, and I'm calling him back after a Bible study. At this time I had my Bible. Whatever reason I had my Bible with me. I don't know how I got it, but I remember having it with me. It was a King James. And not really realizing the decision I made. I just read the information that was in front of me. And it's okay. I couldn't find anything wrong with it, but at the same time, at least let me take a look at it. Went to a Bible study. Told my parents. I saw this sort of angry look. I saw, yes, it was a Assembly Methodist Church in like Toronto. I saw this angry look from my mom's eye, and I didn't know where it was coming from. So that decision alone literally became a complete 180, like completely changed the direction of my entire life. My path was here, and that decision he made, you know what? That decision literally altered the course, the trajectory of my entire life. I mean, in a real way. I didn't know how significant that decision was. Looking back at it, it literally shocked me how such a simple decision can make a can literally alter one's life. Mary, do you have any questions?
No, I think that's a really good point you're making. And, you know, of course, we've talked about this on other programs, but, you know, all decisions ultimately, if we're the children of God, ultimately come from the direction of the Holy Spirit. So,
yeah.
Good
yeah,
point.
I am not disagreeing at all about, like, Walt,
yeah.
Larry.
Yeah.
I don't like disagree with you on. It was just the fact that I didn't see at the time that I didn't see it that way. Personally.
Right.
So now obviously I got baptized. Now it was during that time, that's when I started finding out about the papacy. Outside of God's word, studying with property arrest, that's when I found out about the papacy, the reformationary period. The Reformation, it was during that 5-year period. And I tell you, that five, and I was standing on tracks. Like, I'll tell you this. The first, I remember this till this day. The first day I handed out tracks, I started doing missionary work. I went to this one individual and I explained where I was coming from and everything. It was a Pentecostal woman. She literally turned around and yelled at me. Why don't you tell me the love of Jesus Christ? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this, this? And she was like, she was like, just for 5 minutes, just yelling. Just like, and I'm like, I'm like, do you mind if I get some help? And she's, and she didn't even give me a point across. I said, can I say, well, thank you, Jesus. And I feel like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Can I give him a point? Like, thank you, Jesus. Next thing she does, wind up, I don't know, it felt like she wound up, and she was like 5-foot-something. I mean, she literally slammed the door in my face. First, I'm sitting there, and like, I was like, just a deer in the headlights, like, what just happened here? That was literally my first experience in doing God's work, in terms of going out and ministering God's work. Literally my first experience, and my door slammed in my face. First experience. Couldn't believe, I mean, now when I say this, this was before 9/11, and this was during that time. The Assembly of the Church had the General Conference at that time. I remember there was a lady for months was ministering the gospel to me. I had no clue about what she was, any inclination of Christian faith, until I went to the conference, and then I found out about it, and she was... She was a member of the church at the time, and I'm sitting there. Heck, all this time, I was talking to her, and she had no clue. She didn't want to share her Christian faith. And this was a little thing that I didn't forget. And I knew, and I personally knew, how thin that line is. So, during that 5-year period, when I say this, I didn't get kicked out of the Assembly of the Blessed Church. I found out about, okay, Ellen G. White's original writings versus what the church produced. That's a whole other story. But sticking with the papacy and everything, they gave me a good introduction. A real solid introduction. I'll give them credit for that. Now, during the 5-year period, it was like, the best way to describe it is a person goes to university, goes to Navy SEALs, Army Ranger, and other special forces training, U.S. military, and gets a triple PhD at the same time. Basically, that was a level training that I received. That was the literal level training I received for 5 years. That's the only way you can equate it. So, I remember going to downtown Toronto, other neighborhoods. Well, I mean, literally having the police being called on me, and a few other guys for trespassing, for spreading hateful material. They had World Youth Day in Toronto. Start telling individuals about this, going into downtown Toronto, like going up the street ministry. Did all that. conversations with atheists, other faiths, the, Bible studies with Pentecostals, Bible studies with guys in the Muslim faith, did security for the Jew at a Jewish synagogue during that time. What else? Assembly members reformed the church, but what they're doing was essentially wrong in terms of how their structure was. There was a call of police on me, like shockingly. I think trespassing. I've mentioned that. I've actually had meetings with the elders telling them, Adeola, stop what you're doing. What you're saying is divisive with other friends of mine, like other guys at the time. In front of the church council, locally. What else? What else at the time? Literally gone into poor neighborhoods in downtown. Yes, I'm at the same time, I have NEMA blunders on the way too. And yet, throughout all this, that was the way I had to learn God's word during that 5-year period. Because frankly, I just didn't know where else to, I had Bible studies in the church, but yet I learned more by actually doing it and studying than actually sitting there and having a study. Every Friday evening, I had Bible studies. I'll be at church on Saturdays at the time. But they hated me because, and I realized, looking back at it, I was hated because I didn't come the way they expected through some church, like picnic or something like that, through some seminar or revelation seminar or whatever. A highly religious community across all boards, and Jesus Christ met me there on the bus. I made a decision. Not one person came to me. Not one person even, except for the, we're still best friends today. His name's Dan. What's wrong? He lives in St. Catharines. Outside of him, not one person came to me. Not one person came to me. Not one person even approached me. Nobody. Nothing. So when I say I was virtually green in the literal sense, and it was the most intense 5-year period that I've ever been through in my entire life, where it basically caused me to question everything. I mean, in the literal sense, question a lot of things. The flack, I got a lot of flack for even my own parents. It blew me away. The Christian households still give me a lot of flack. I mean, a lot of flack. Period. I mean, it was incredible. Don't celebrate Christmas. I mean, do my best with health reform. All this sort of stuff. Whatever reason, my me doing what I was doing, it chopped their height. It chopped their height. I said, Dad, I mean, what'd you expect? Not a single, like, religious organization came to me. Not one. Except a friend of mine, best friend, who gave me a tract out of his own pocket to believe in God's word. Not a single organization. This is one of the reasons why I am completely hard on religious organizations. Where I pull no expense, have a part of my language, a piss poor job they're doing. Part of my language here. Because that's my limit of swearing, but this is why, on a whole, not individually, I pull no punches. I literally pull no punches in when it comes to these religious institutions. I have never seen such a racket in my entire life. Personally, it is the biggest racket on the face of the earth, being a human religious institution, by far. And I'm unapologetic about it, because I've literally seen it from the inside out, what a quote-unquote religious organization could do to an honest person who is telling the truth about God's word. First-hand experience. And yet, expecting to see there an organization saying, well, we're doing God's work. Sorry, if you're doing God's work, they won't be doing anything. Like, they won't be kicking people out. They won't be hammering people for telling God's truth. you'd be the complete opposite. You'll be encouraging people to do it. They won't be sending people off to cemetery school to come back and kick whatever Holy Spirit's out of them. They would encourage that. But nope. This is one of the reasons why I am, in the literal sense, done with religion and religious institutions and stick with God's holy word, authorized King James, based on the Geneva, the Tyndale, the texture stuff, this all the way back to the apostles. With the Old Testament tutor like this. None religion, none of his institutions. That's why I'm hard. Do I want to minister God's word? Yes, I do. Study, check my heart, make sure my life's in Jesus Christ's hands, and live the word. Opportunity presents itself, but live the kind word, but never be afraid to tell the truth. That's where I'm at right now. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. What year was it when you found yourself beginning to immerse yourself in reading all the history of the Roman Catholics, including books that you've recommended to me, like Nicolai? When was that? Kind of give on a timeline.
Okay, on a timeline. Now, what after those 5 years, they gave me an introduction. I read a lot of the books with the papacy. I read a lot of the books with the papacy and everything, but the thing I realized, I didn't want to be caught seeing the church, some church organization told you this. But I knew that I was missing a huge history. Now, after those 5 years, lived in Toronto a few years more, I ended up moving back to North Bay. Now, went through ups and downs in terms of finding work, finding a job, I mean, up and down, name of blunders, everything. So, end up living with my parents. I mean, that's a whole other story. Now, it was about several years in. I ran a computer business. And what I did was, at the time, I was on a conference line. And with a few, this was way before I met you, Walt, all these guys, and friends of mine, a good friend of mine in the States. Good friend of mine in the States was on there. As I started studying this, then I began to get more information about the papacy. First little instance was the Bank of Wisdom. And this gave me, Walter Weiss, he gave me a good insight because it was via YouTube. So I began to get piece in the history and everything. Now, with this, a friend of mine, on this conference line, now a friend of mine named Ken. Him and his family, very good friends, lives on the States. Now, as I started studying his line, we began to study a bit more about, like, Bible study and everything, but my knowledge of the papacy began to grow during that time. I had this book called The Bank of Wisdom, and it was based out of New York, and he got a lot of these books from the Jesuits. The book by History of the Jesuits by Nicolini, I saw it, but I hadn't looked at it because I was scared. Because I started looking at this information, and it gave me a really good insight. I said, man, this is an organization that is bad. It is terrible. So I had to put it off for a while because I was freaking scared. Because if you come from this information for the first time, you're essentially scared. And it isn't that bad. Now, what had happened was, it wasn't until I started running my computer company, and I go to the library and update my computer because I'll update my computer. This is going about, like almost 10 years ago now, just over 10 years ago. Then I came across Tom Press. I started reading all his books. He'll listen to it. So what I'll do, I'll listen to it. I couldn't believe I was listening to it. I'll actually find the book. The first book was Papacy and the Civil Power by R.W. Thompson. It was that book. He went through that for a number of weeks. Then that gave me a real insight. I couldn't believe what I was reading. Again, with Walter Blythe, a lot of his books. Then Albert Manhattan came across his books. So it was literally at the public library. I started downloading all this stuff. Like, in the literal sense, I started downloading. I literally couldn't believe what I was reading. What I was reading by these guys and then by Albert Manhattan confirmed it. Then with Walter Blythe, I was able to start like look at this stuff. Then even at the Door of Ministries, the black gentleman in the United States, in the UK, along the same lines. So I started gathering this information, and then I started finding it. And I started like James Aitken Wiley, Protestant. I mean, I read that The Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Charles Kinnickle. I started all these books just started popping up. Then it was an issue of the Jesuits by Nick Lee that Tom Fresh read. Then once I read that, that sealed it. I mean, that book, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I literally couldn't believe what I was reading, and it blew me away. It literally blew me away what I was reading. And I said, it was, that was the hands down. That was sort of the icing on the cake, that the papacy is not an organization at all. It is a basically massive cult. I don't see that a lot, but it is. Masquerading itself as a Christian church. It was that book. Then it was able to look in the light of God's word and actually read the real history of it. Because I realized I was like literally missing a 1,000-year gap. It was a literal 1,000-year gap of history that I was missing. And this stuff was, frankly, like never taught to me in school. Like, it was never taught. That was never taught to us. I mean, I got a rootless in the SC church, but during the Baptist church, never was taught that. Then it just gave me a real sense of, it gave me a real sense of history. With a friend of mine, Ken, where was stuck was the history. Then I began to look at the economic side of things. Then again, I went down that rabbit hole. I couldn't believe how much they control everything through his like agencies that they use. I couldn't believe that. Then through and Ken Wilson, he introduced me to the whole legal system. The more I ran through that, it blew me away how they enslaved us via the Social Security system. So basically what they did during the Dark Ages, they essentially replanted the same thing with the economic and legal system. Utter serfdom via the devil, obviously. And use religion. So I had to study basically a trifecta right there over the years. That is what I was learning all these years. And it was just bit by bit, I began putting the piece together, and I said, and people telling me we're not affected with the papacy. I said, yeah, but you have a synonym. Well, your taxes go to them anyway, because they own the central reserve, via the Rothschilds, the Guardian of the Vatican Treasury. Recently with the two books, Jogger 66, the book by Ebb Kupferstein, Rules of Evil, and Cooler Babylon, how America became a Jesuit enclave, and then how Canada was warned of Jesuitism, the tragic Quebec. Read those three books, said to myself, there's no way I'll vote in an election. Number two, North America's is a Jesuit reduction. Period. If any countries kicked them out, and yet the only two places that they kicked them out is in North America, that's it. I sat back. It was those three books that really said to myself, we've been just lied to. I mean, it's, and I'm still waking up from it. Any questions?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of jump forward a little bit and get your opinion or your ideas about a couple things. You know, in the current theological spectrum of the United States and Canada, there's this ongoing controversy between Zionism and Catholicism and who really represents the in final prophecies, and we've got different authors out there. I'll mention a few of them. Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth. We got Edward Henry, Mystery Babylon, and we've got Tex Mars, who's written numerous books on the Zionists. How do you validate books that you're reading as to whether they are authentic or whether they are fraudulent?
It's the fact that no one talks about them. It's that simple. If you're not talking with the people saying what they've done and how they control everything, in the literal sense, and you're blaming a small group of people for taking over everything, that's the real problem. If they don't talk about it, that should tell you something.
You mean if they don't talk about Rome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And the fact that the scarlet that rides the beast, how does Zion equate with a scarlet woman riding it like this? How does Zionism basically talk about the 10 toes, the initial kingdom of the 10 regions, Daniel like this?
How do you see the linkage between Zionism and Catholicism?
You have to understand, you have to go back all the way to Napoleon. You have to understand Napoleon, and you have to understand the Khazari Empire at that time. Those two you have to understand. It was Napoleon who propagated this in terms of returning back to Israel. Napoleon could have done what he done without the backing of the papacy. Even when he was expelled and no longer emperor of France at the time, he ended up spending time on the Jesuit island in the Mediterranean, and then comes back. Where do you get the money from to do it? That's the thing. He has a Maltese, if you look at some pictures, he has a Maltese cross. Like the Battle of Waterloo. Okay, the Rothschild, the guardian of the Vatican treasure. People say it's a conspiracy. Well, if that were the case, they should literally give up. Why is the papacy bent on the Crusades in the Middle East, especially Jerusalem? Because they want to use the devil to eventually see the Third Temple rebuilt, even though it is against God's word. And the simple fact that the papacy literally owns a land where the Temple Mount is. If you look on the Israeli website, it's called the Legal Agreement of the Holy See. And it's literally right there. It's buried. Then if that's the case, well, the version of the land underneath there, but no one talks about that. And it's right on the government's own website.
How do you see, now fast forward to today, we know we have the book of Revelation that talks about the woman that rides the beast, and we also have it clearly revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the Pope is the one who sits in the temple of God and proclaims he is God and so on. How do you see this working itself out? It seems like that because of the Jesuits and because of it seems like they have been shielded from being exposed as to what they're doing. I mean, it seems very, as far as in the public eye, Roman Catholic Church now is considered by mainstream as being Christian. We know they're not. How do you see this playing its way out as far as interfacing with this New World Order and the central banking system and what's going on right now with all of the tyranny going on with the control by the elites?
Well, you see, this is the way God reveals it to me and how things are playing out. Number one, he's only going to reveal it to his elect. It's that simple. Wherever God's elect is throughout all this earth, he's only going to reveal it to them. Number two, God has to let it play out according to his schedule, that what his elect is seeing is really fulfilling prophecy. I don't know the exact little nuances based on God's word, because there are a lot of things that I mean, I'm not clear on it just yet, but it will be revealed.
Right.
At this point. So, but things will play out. God will protect his elect at the same time. God, because the only people who actually see this for what it is through his elect. That's it. So, there will be an end. There will be the seven last plagues, but during that time, God will take care of his elect, as long as his elect remember where our true allegiance lies. That's it. It's not by our own works or salvation. It's where God only sees his son's character. It's through that. So seeing this, literally seeing this, I take a page from Enoch, I take a page from the Israelites going to the desert. All throughout history, I take a page from all the Christians. Despite how bad things get, I mean, the Waldensians as well as the Nestorian Christians, no matter how bad things get, God protects his people. So it's that protection, knowing how bad things get. I'll be fully aware. It will be hard to deal with the scenes. But that's the approach I'm taking.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think even if we have to go through the tribulation, even if we have to be martyred for our faith, God will be with us while we're being martyred. I mean,
that's virtually the approach I'm taking. There's certain aspects where I look at the book of Revelation. Yeah, I have a clear understanding of it, but there's certain, God's Jesus Christ will return, his city will come down, everything. That's clear, but the little nuance is that, I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, there's something here. So for me, the thing I'm paying attention to is the environmental movement now. That's the one thing I'm paying attention to, is the environmental movement, because they're going to use that aspect to force compulsory servitude towards the papacy.
How do you see this pandemic? What's the linkage between the pandemic and forced mandated vaccine? We know they're not vaccinations, but forced mandates. How do you see that linked to the Roman Catholic Church?
Control. It's about control, because they're using the front agencies. They're using the influence they use through the educational system that they influence.
Right.
That is through that control, because you can't be a billionaire without being on the Knight of Malta. Look how many institutions they've taken over at the federal, provincial, state, and local level. Even if they haven't started, they'll take over. A 100 people in charge. Control. Banking. Bank of America, they're owned by the papacy. Same with Lockheed Martin via Santa Clara. These things. I mean, the government and the Vatican billions is an example.
Well, you know, we've been going for almost 50 minutes, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to take the last few minutes of this broadcast to have you basically give your opinion to people who are God's children as to how they should move forward in the situation that we find ourselves. I know that you're in much more tyrannical control in Canada than we are even in the United States. So how would you advise Christians in terms of the future and how they should be prepared for the future?
Outside of the current for once, I get it. We all gotta pay our bills. We all gotta earn a living. I understand that. Even myself being self-employed. That I'm like, just like you, Larry, you gotta earn a living, provide for yourself and your family. I get every case is different. Number one, if you can get to a small town as quick as you can, do it. That's the first thing. It's like a smaller living. Simplify your living. That's number two. Number three, learn as best you can to do things outside of the system as much as you can. And lastly, in doing this, you have to put God's place first. Any decision you make has to be in the light of God's word to have him direct you. It's virtually that simple. It's that simple. God's first. Get a smaller community as best you can that we can afford. Learn to, because obviously when things go straight, we can be taken out of our homes and have as little attachment to our earthly possessions as possible. Yes, we got to be as proper stewards God's given us, but have no attachment to it because of what God has given to us. Basically.
Well, I think that's really good exhortation and admonition. I think, there are certain advantages to not being in high density areas. You know, I had a friend tell me one time, the more people, the more sin. Okay. And so I think you're right. Simplify one's life. I think that's great advice. Living in a small town, living out on a small level, in other words, don't go into a lot of debt right now.
Yeah. And if there's, I forgot, and there's any, for me, if there's any debt you have, pay it off.
Right.
Simplify it. I mean, I get some people may have a plot of land, they can grow stuff. I'm sort of exploring this. Okay, if you go to any food, store some food first. Like, go to the grocery store, get as much food as you can, store some stuff, food as you can. Not too much, but enough that God will lie to say that's enough. Then slowly begin to warm explore and begin to grow. If you don't agree with some, start slowly under God's word. And if you're in an area where there's a lot of like natural beauty and everything, learn how to forage for stuff in terms of edible plants and edible plants for human consumption. Learn about that too.
Yeah, that's great advice. I just had lunch today with a guy. His name is David Johnson, and he's going to be on our broadcast. And he's really an expert in this area of how to grow healthy foods and so on. So that's really great advice.
I'm exploring this area personally, and I gotta get myself a small little vehicle. If you have vehicles, I'll say, look, if people have vehicles, when I see this, put God's word first in everything. I mean, I'm not just telling you everything you do. But see, if you have vehicles, give yourself a small SUV or Jeep, something a bit more rugged that you can be able to sort of go out in the country, some of that sort of stuff. Have a little bug out bag where you can like go out and that sort of stuff. Nothing too fancy or anything, but just enough to say, you know what, God tells me to go and then totally rely on him. Because I'm looking at the reason I'm saying this, I'm looking at the Israelites fled Egypt. They had what they needed, and God fed them in water and walked for 40 years. There's a health message component of that there too. I get, and if you have 5 million people, you couldn't tell me there were people who can barely walk, they had help. They had all sorts of health conditions during the 40 years, so there's no excuse on that. I get every situation is different. God dealt with a lot of situations there at the same time.
Well, Adeola, I want to thank you for being on this broadcast. And by the way, our plan is to do this every Tuesday at the same time at 3 o'clock Adeola time and 2 o'clock Central time. I guess Adeola, I guess we'll just call this the Adeola Hour. How do you like that? Anyway,
that's fine. It's right now. Let's see how this goes. Like, send me an email afterwards so I can just go, and then I'll just work on another study or just another aspect of everything too.
Right. Well, you've got a lot to add with all of your reading and all of your understanding of the history of Rome. You've just got a lot to add to this format. So again, I want to thank you for coming on today, and we welcome all the listeners to the Adeola Hour. And so with that, Adeola, I'm going to say goodbye for now, and I hope you have a blessed afternoon.
All Okay.
All right.